what you believe and not what you see. We may be only human, there's another way to be. Don't need God to explain my morality. You can tell what's good and bad without resort to insanity. Made up stories to explain it.
Welcome to the Ignacio Brothers Podcast, the only podcast where two barely educated guys from Central Illinois get together and talk about religion. This is Jake.
This is Nick.
And welcome to episode 24.
Here we are once again.
It is July 4th.
Yes, I think we recorded on July 4th last year too.
I'm sure. Yeah, we did. So we can get together and celebrate when our founding fathers got together to form our Christian nation.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Well, you know, they put together the Constitution, which is based off the Ten Commandments.
Oh, yeah, and the Declaration of Independence. You know how they all, you know, mentioned Jesus and everything.
Yep, it's definitely Christianity is, you know, that's what they had in mind.
Right.
So, yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's all my doing. I had hoped that as soon as my semester ended, which was almost 2 months ago, I'd be able to start knocking out episodes again, but I had some personal issues I had to deal with that took priority, so unfortunately I had to wait a while to get some stuff taken care of, but here we are,
yep.
Once again.
Awesome, it happens.
Yes. So. Yeah, it actually was funny because I'm on Facebook and I see more than one person on my friend list posting, it's so wonderful to live in America, a country where our founding fathers had give us the freedoms that they had with God in mind. And, like, yeah. But here's the deal.
Yeah, like, you know, no slavery?
Yeah. And what about all the other countries? Because it's not like God wasn't around before they were formed.
Right.
I mean,
God's been around for how many millions of years, and all of a sudden in the past, a couple hundred, God decided to give people rights, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the people before that weren't listening to God. And
yeah.
Well, again, if you were reading your Bible, they were listening to God as he told them that their slaves were okay.
Yeah. So the people who wrote the Bible weren't listening to God then. Interesting.
Yeah. Nice. So, and it did remind me, that's kind of a... It might be an interesting topic for a future podcast is how religious were the founding fathers? How was this country really founded on Christian ideals? And I recently read a book about that, talking about some of the founding fathers and what their religious convictions really were. It was pretty interesting, and maybe we'll talk about it. It's kind of been done to death, but
right,
we all know that anyone that says this country was founded on Christianity, it's just complete bullshit. They may have been Christians, but you know, a lot of these founding fathers, yeah, they all claim to be Christians, but like today, back then, you pretty much have to be a Christian to get elected to anything. So,
well, they didn't claim to be Christians. They were, most of them were deists.
Yeah, well, Jefferson was completely unapologetic. He was a deist. Washington, I think, tended to, from what I read, he went to church more often when he was in office than when not, and he seemed to just be going along with his wife's religion rather than following it himself. It was actually pretty interesting, but maybe right. It's a topic for a different podcast.
Yep.
First up today, I guess I have an article, that I found in USA Today. I don't think this is an article. I think this is just like an opinion thing. It was somebody bitching about American atheists posting billboards and stuff. I can be good without God. And the article starts, "Oh my God, not. Atheists and humanists are flying the patriotic flag this weekend. So if you look up from your beach blanket Monday and see one of those little planes pulling a banner that says God less America or atheism is patriotic, you can credit the $23,000 campaign funded by American atheists," their spokesman Blair Scott tells on CNN's Belief blog. And they're having problems because a lot of the pilots don't want to fly these banners. One of them, Red Calvert, a pilot and president of Pro Air Enterprises of Indianapolis, told Belief blog, I respect our country, and I respect our churches. We've got enough problems in our country without stirring up more. If these people want to do something they believe in, fine, just don't include me. So, I gotta wonder, why is this stirring up problems? Is it stirring up problems when churches advertise?
Yeah.
I mean, why is it specifically, you know, an atheist points out their beliefs and it's stirring up problems?
Right. Well, it's whenever somebody tries to stir up the majority, that's when it becomes problems.
And this person writes, find out where the, and as they, I'll quote, blasphemy banners will fly at the atheist site. And there's a link to it. And they're also talking about the American Humanist Association is keeping its 4th of July publicity to burst humanist flag waving on ground. And they're mailing out 15,000 Happy Human pins to members. In their press release, Roy Speckhart states, we value the principles that our nation was founded on, which includes the freedom of and from religion. The 4th of July represents ample opportunity for all non-atheist Americans, or I'm sorry, all non-theist Americans to come out of the closet and openly identify as such. So I think that's their point, is they're not trying to convert people and say, stop believing in God. They're trying to say, hey, look, if you're a non-believer, it's okay. You can come out of the closet. You're not alone. You can
right.
Post your viewpoints.
They're not so much trying to make this an in-your-face to believers. They're trying to show support for the non-believers.
So I
That was the whole thing behind the whole, you know they're all myths or you know they're all scams.
Yeah.
You know, they say there wasn't so much of an in-your-face to believers. It was just to show solidarity for the fellow non-believers.
Yeah. It just bothers me because, okay, we sit here and we talk about our beliefs and we're stirring up problems. But,
yeah.
You know, evangelicals will sit and they'll try to convert people to their religion, and well, they're doing God's work. They're not stirring up problems. But if it does stirring up problems, and if it does cause a problem, well, it's God's work, so it's important. So
yeah, who are you to get, say God's causing problems?
Yeah. So one guy on a comment writes, "I feel sorry for atheists until they pull this kind of stunt. I mean, what do atheists feel? A calling to convert Christians to atheists?" Is there an atheist anti-Bible or something that eschews this beliefs?
No, that's kind of the point.
Yeah, no, there's not. But we're just, we're saying this is who we are, this is what we believe. And
wait, he feels sorry for atheists?
He did. He felt sorry for us until we pulled this stunt. Probably
Why
felt sorry for us because we're
Why?
Going to hell. Because we're living our lives without the love and guidance of God.
Well, if he feels sorry for us, maybe he didn't believe something so terrible.
Yeah. No kidding.
You shouldn't believe that we're all going to burn in torture forever.
No kidding.
If he feels that badly about it. unless he feels we really deserve it, and in which case he probably shouldn't feel sorry for us.
And then he writes, a pretty pitiful group. I've heard it say that if you put an atheist on a falling elevator, he, she will be a Christian and calling on Jesus before the elevator hits the ground. I imagine that's correct a large percentage of the time. A large percentage of the time? How often does this happen?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Is there case studies been done? And then he's also pointing out that that false dichotomy. Okay, so it's either atheism or Christianity. You know, how about maybe they're going to call in Shiva to help. Maybe they're going to call Brahma.
Yeah, maybe they'll call him Muslim. Muslim. Maybe they're Muslim. They're going to Allah, yeah.
Emma Teresu or another. Maybe we'll call in Zeus.
Yeah.
Of all the religions we could pick, why would it be yours?
Right.
Especially when their followers are such assholes most of the time.
Or maybe we'll pick a sect of Christianity you don't agree with. Maybe we'll decide to become snake handlers all of a sudden.
Yes. I don't really know much about snake handling.
Me neither.
Other than
I know it's basically from a thing in the Bible saying, the venom will not kill you or something if you have true faith or something like that. I'm not sure exactly. But
all I really know is that Mo on The Simpsons is a snake handler.
Yes, he is. I was born a snake handler. I'll die a snake handler.
There was
an
episode where he was dating some girl and she said something about it was getting serious. And he said, but I got to let you know, I am an observing snake handler, but it's really more for the family. If we had a kid, there'd just be one small ceremony and that would be it.
Oh, I love The Simpsons.
Yes. Wonderful stuff. So happy Independence Day for all of our American listeners.
Right.
For all of our non-American listeners, It's just another day, I guess, but
hope go watch it. Go watch Independence Day.
Yeah. Movie. There you go.
With Will Smith, Bill Pullman. Terrible movie, but it's awesome.
Really?
It's a great movie. It's fun to watch, but it's really not a good movie. You know what I mean?
I'm not following you on that.
Well, it's fun. It's a fun, entertaining movie. You know, I consider it a guilty pleasure movie.
Oh, okay.
You know, because I mean, it's stupid. There's plot holes everywhere, but it's a fun movie.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
That's my opinion, anyway. I think it's a stupid movie, but it's awesome.
I think the same thing about The Last Dragon.
Oh yeah.
Roy. Yeah. Ooh, I gotta watch that today.
That's a good one.
Okay. All right. So, recently, or I guess it's not that recent, but a few episodes ago, we had a request to hear about our deconversion stories. And I thought it might make an interesting podcast for me to come up with, I guess, some more detail, because we didn't really get into a whole lot of specifics, because our stories are just like everybody else's, I think. You know, deconversion tends to take a while for a lot of people, and it at least for me, and it was a long series of different things and different thoughts going through my head, and so I figured I'd actually come up with a little bit more thorough deconversion story. And that's what I did. So, to the listener who asked for it, who I don't think he even likes me anymore, but...
Oh, boy.
Because, unfortunately, my soon-to-be ex-wife has done her very best to turn everybody who knows me against me, and...
Oh, boy.
That's the drama that's kept me from recording. But, anyway, if he's still listening, I've got it here for you, so... Hope you enjoy it. So, the seeds of doubt with me were planted in, of all the strangest places, they were planted in Sunday school. It was I think freshman year in high school, and they must have been teaching some basic apologetics or something, because the subject of that day's lesson was, how do we know there's really a God? How do we know that God actually exists?
Uh-oh, that's not a question you ask in Sunday school.
I know. And that was a question I wasn't used to hearing in Sunday school.
What do you mean? Of course there's a God. Why would we think otherwise?
Wait a second. You've always told me there was a God. That's what I was basing this on.
You mean it's possible there isn't one?
Yeah, and that's exactly what went through my head. Because that had never occurred to me. I was actually a very gullible kid growing up. I would just believe everything that anybody told me. It was actually kind of funny, the stuff people would tell me. I remember our grandfather had... once took me into the hallway, pointed at the thermostat, and said if I touched that, the house would blow up. And I believed it. And I remember some of our younger cousins, Jake might have been there too, were playing around, like we're in the hallway right around there. And I was, no, get away from that. You're going to blow the house up.
That sounds like something he would do.
Because I was convinced.
Right.
Why would he lie to me? Why would... Yeah.
So to get you the thermostat alone, so it won't cost an arm and a leg to heat the house.
Yeah, which is probably just about as bad as blowing up the house if I mess with the thermostat, in old man logic anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So, and yeah, I mean, my best friend as a child would just tell me the most bizarre stories, and looking back on it, it's just like, he must have just been having a blast with that. You know, he's like on my Facebook friend list now, but I hardly ever talk to him. I never... asked him about this, but I just know he had to have been, man, Nick believes everything. I'm going to tell him this now. And so here I am, 14 years old, and at the beginning of this class, this question was posed. How do we know that there's a God? And for the first time in my life, the thought entered my head, maybe there's not. Maybe everyone was wrong. I mean, I wasn't too worried because, well, that's what the subject of this lesson is. They're going to... give me proof. By the time this Sunday school lesson is over, I will know without a doubt that there is a God, because they're going to give me the proof. Well, they didn't. I really don't remember what they talked about in the lesson. All I remember is that when it was done, I still had just as much doubt as before. And it wasn't much. I still, you know, there was a little seed of doubt planted, and that seed was still there. You know, they told me some stuff, and I don't even remember what it was. I just remember feeling the same exact way, like, a little uncomfortable. Like, God, how do I know? Maybe there's not a God. That's kind of scary. But I didn't think about it too long, because I was in high school. As far as I was concerned, church was just this really boring place I had to go every Sunday morning, and I did all I could do to get out of it every week, so I didn't really care. God may or may not have existed, but it didn't matter in my day-to-day routine. I went along, I did my stuff, I went to high school, I hung out with my friends, I tried unsuccessfully to get a girlfriend, and, you know, whatever God was doing, it didn't affect me.
Unless it involved getting a girlfriend.
Yeah. In which case, he really dropped the ball on that one.
Right.
So I graduated, I joined the Marines, and I legally became an adult. In that order. my routine changed, but I still didn't have much room or thought for religion. After that, I never really went to church anymore because I didn't have anybody forcing me to do it. And I didn't really think about religion too much. Yeah, once in a while it would come up, but, you know, that was it. I think the entire time I was in the Marines, I went in boot camp to maybe once or twice just because I kind of had to go to services. At the beginning of boot camp, they made you go to services. Afterwards, what happened was they had church services on Sunday mornings, but they would actually give us like 3 hours of free time on Sunday mornings during which we can go to church services, but we didn't get much free time. We got like half an hour every night, and then those 3 hours on Sunday, so...
Yeah, you're gonna waste it going to church.
Exactly. And I was actually, in boot camp, I was actually a pretty, pretty devout Christian, just because it was so difficult, and I was like praying every night, oh God, give me guidance, oh I need this, and reading the little, because I didn't bring a Bible with me, but they hand, you know, one of the religious groups handed out those little pocket-sized New Testaments.
Right.
And I was reading that every night, but I wasn't so, you know, inclined to go to church services on Sunday. I just figured I'd read my Bible and pray, and that would be enough. And during that boot camp, I really didn't have any doubts that there was a God, because I was convinced God was helping me through this difficult time. But then I graduated and things got easier and I didn't feel the need to call on God anymore. Now, the Marine Corps had an unusual effect on me. We are taught instant willing obedience to orders, which was easy for me at first because I wasn't a questioner. I didn't question. Somebody told me something, I just believed them. After about 3 or 4 years, though, I started realizing that some of the things I was being told was just flat-out wrong. And some of it was just plain bullshit. I spent a lot of time and energy doing things that didn't make sense, especially when it was, like, stupid, pointless tasks. Like, oh, you guys screwed up, go clean this, go do this busy work as punishment for something you did wrong. And eventually I'd have to say, wait a second, I didn't do anything wrong here. None of us did, you know. There's some, you know, leader would get pissed off about something and like, hey, wait a second, we didn't break a rule. We didn't know we weren't supposed to do that. You're being unreasonable. So during this time, I started actually asking myself questions. And I had expected, obviously going into the Marines, that I was going to do stuff like that in boot camp. And maybe starting off, because it's their little hazing thing and the training thing. But I didn't realize it would last my entire damn enlistment. And I started to ask myself why, you know, why do I have to do this thing? Why is, you know, this person is saying this, but are they right? So-and-so said that my platoon screwed up, but did we really screw up? Or are they just playing head games? And a lot of times the answer to my why, the only answer I could come up with was just the person giving the order is a jackass, or the person who's in charge is abusing their authority because they were a nerd in high school and this is the first time they've had authority over anything. So, towards the end of my enlistment, getting a few years into it, I'm starting to question, and I see the movie Dogma. It was a hilarious yet thought-provoking movie like a lot of Kevin Smith's work. What that movie made me realize for the first time was that the Bible is just a book. God didn't write it, people did. I also kind of occurred to me around this time that if God existed, he wasn't behaving in the same manner as he did in the Bible. And what I mean is that in all of these Bible stories, the characters aren't expected to believe the way that we are expected to believe. These characters witnessed miracles. God interacted directly with them, but he doesn't do that anymore. maybe a lot of people argue, oh, yes, he does. I talk to God every day. Well, if he does interact with us, he does it in extremely subtle ways.
Right. He's not parting seas anymore.
Exactly. You know, it was obvious in the Bible, you know, okay, you can say God talks to you, but you can't say that God is setting bushes on fire and speaking from them.
You don't have a guy walking around spitting on people's eyes and making them be able to see again.
Yeah. And if that is happening, you need to go to the hospital. people aren't being raised from the dead these days. Unless it's with a defibrillator.
Right, with science.
Yeah, exactly. And this is important because his lack of involvement is conspicuous, which also means he isn't involved in the upkeep of the Bible. Assuming it was even, you know, real accurate information to begin with, it's been translated and copied multiple times over thousands of years, and it seems odd that he would remain uninvolved in, at the very least, this extremely important process. Wouldn't it make more sense if God, you know, just doing nothing else would miraculously provide everybody in the world with a copy of his Bible translated in their native language?
Right.
It would be... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, I've been reading Misquoting Jesus by Bart Ehrman.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I was reading it until my Kindle broke, but anyway. Yeah, it sucks. And he explains that, you know, a lot of what we have of the Bible isn't original. We've got copies of copies, and that's what the Bible is formed from.
Yeah.
You know, they're not original. We're not sure who wrote them. You know, we got, you know, some good ideas for some of it, but we don't know who wrote it. They're copies of copies.
Come on, Jake. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's who wrote it. Right.
And we don't have any of the originals. There's no way to really tell, like, some of the formatting, because back when they used to make copies back then, they just had somebody, you know, somebody who was literate back then in terms of whether or not they could write. They were just able to make the words on the paper, just copy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was what qualified by a literate person back then. So they could, you know, just copy the words on the paper, and they could make mistakes, you know, or they, you know, would get the formatting wrong or the punctuation, and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, nothing divine about how the Bible got traveled.
Yeah.
The ages.
Well, it went through my head. It was, why couldn't there be a divine way for the Bible to get translated? Right. Why, you know, it would be a very small miracle, but, you know, if you get this, you know, magically transported book showing up on your table, you would know that it was from a higher power, and then all you have to do is read it, and you would know not only does this higher power exist, but this is exactly what the higher power wants us to do because it wrote it in this book.
Okay, here's how they should do it. You've seen Beetlejuice, right?
Yeah.
Okay, when they first get back to the house after they die, you know? The handbook for the recently deceased is sitting on the table.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like that. It should happen just like that. Just appear on your table one day.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
That would solve a lot of the problems, I think.
Yeah, I never even occurred to me that, yeah, that's exactly what I was proposing. Handbook for the this thing reads like stereo instructions. It's like I can get how he's put things on autopilot. He's not involved like he used to be, but he could at least give us guidance, if not, you know, if not making things happen like he did in the Bible, at least just, you know, throw a book out there for us. Give us something, you know, except for, you know, preachers who a lot of them are assholes.
Right. Of course, this is all assuming on whether or not he exists.
Yeah. You know, and that was my thought. It's almost as if he didn't even exist.
Exactly.
And another interesting thing happened during my last year in the Marines. I had my first marriage had just ended. It wasn't a good idea anyway. But and I started dating somebody else, the girl who I would once impregnate, or at one point in time impregnate. But I witnessed her have a seizure. Now, I knew she had a seizure disorder, but I didn't know that she had been slacking on taking her medication. So, out of nowhere, she starts screaming and shaking, and it really freaked me out. Luckily, I knew she had a seizure disorder, so I knew what happened, and I'm like, I don't know what to do, and the shaking stopped really quick, but she was just completely out of it. Like, her pupils were really dilated, her eyes looked black, and she's just, like, staring, like, off, like, her head was just jerking in different, like she was looking at different points on the room for, like, an instant, then going to the next one, and just, like, it was really creepy. And I remember reading about how early on people with seizure disorders having seizures were thought to be possessed by the devil.
Yeah, that wasn't a seizure, Nick. The two seizures possessed, obviously.
Well, and I remember reading and hearing about that and thinking, oh, those people were so silly. They were so uneducated. Well, when I saw it, I thought, holy shit, I can see why people believed this. If I didn't know any better, if I didn't know what this was, I would probably think the same thing. She is having her seizure. I'm freaking out, so I wound up going out of the room to call her dad and tell him what happened, and I mean, he's listening to the story, which I told him all of the story, but not quite all of it, because there was an interesting side note to it but that I didn't tell him. But as it turns out, when she had the seizure, her and I were both naked, which really kind of killed the mood.
But, you have that effect on women.
Yeah, I do, apparently so. And I didn't tell him about that, but I told him she had a seizure and explained what happened. And he's like, well, go check on her again real quick. And she was like laying there, had a smile. Hi, how you doing? I'm like, are you okay? Yeah, why wouldn't I be? You just had a seizure. I did? Yeah, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. So I went back and told him that, yeah, she's fine now. And he's like, okay, well, if it happens again, he should probably call 911. But yeah, she's okay. And, you know, do me a favor, you know, get you know, when she's feeling a little better, bring her back home so I can make sure she's okay. And I did. And then I went back in. Like half an hour later, she didn't even remember having the conversation of me saying, are you okay?
Right.
But it was the first time I'd seen anything like that. So.
Yeah, and it can be scary. And if you don't know what's going on, it's easy to think that she's possessed by demons.
So now I have an explanation, or at least a partial explanation, for some of the religious stories we hear.
Oh, yeah.
So, moving on, I had that going on, had that in my head, and my 5-year contract ended. I left the Marines. Occasionally, I would stop during this time to consider the existence of God, and every time I'd feel just a little bit less convinced that he existed. I actually, towards the end there, I came up with an alternate theory, because there was all this stuff adding up, you know, coming up. Why isn't God involved? Why are there so many people... so many people in the world, and he's revealed himself to such a small number of people. I actually, when I was on barracks duty one night, somebody had put some religious propaganda from their religion. I found out later what they were. Actually, I found out what they were from listening to Irreligiosophy. I don't know if you've heard them talk about the Jack Chick tracks.
Oh, yeah.
I never heard it, and I was just listening to this episode. And they were describing what these Jack Chick tracks, and then I realized that's what that was on the they were passing out at the barracks.
Yeah.
And I remember it pissed me off, because it was all about how everyone who isn't a Christian goes to hell, and it was like this Buddhist guy who went to hell, and they're talking about how, well, you had a chance because at this one point in your time in your life, these Christians tried to witness to you. And I was thinking, yeah, but his entire life, he would have been raised to be a Buddhist and told this is what is true, that Siddhartha Gautama was enlightened, and Christianity is just this crazy religion that the people on the other side of the world believe. So the one time he's witnessed to, he's not going to believe that. You know, Buddhism was a much larger influence, and that essentially if the Christian God is real, he revealed himself to a very small portion of the world, and a lot of people are going to hell just because they didn't get the proper introduction. So I was going through and I was kind of thinking about different stuff, and I came up with this alternate theory that, okay, maybe God is real, maybe the stuff in the Bible is real up until the New Testament, and maybe he sent Jesus down to be crucified. He sent Jesus down not to be crucified. He sent Jesus down to talk to us and to tell us exactly what he wanted from us, because his other messages weren't getting through. And what did we do? We didn't listen to him. We crucified him. And after that, God said, fuck you guys, I'm done with you. And he moved on, and he's probably out in another planet somewhere else in the galaxy with another race of people. And we're on our own now because we crucified his son. But
yeah, that makes a lot more sense, actually.
It did make a lot more sense. And I, for a while there, that's what I thought might have happened. Because it still explained to God.
Right.
It still, you know, explained how we came into being.
Yeah, God came by, did everything, gave us Jesus, we killed him. Fuck you people then, I'm out of here.
And I'm like, that actually makes a lot more sense, because why would he send his son down here just to be tortured and killed?
That explains why we don't have any miracles, or why God doesn't show himself anymore.
Yeah, so that was my alternate theory that I was going with for a while. until I realized it makes more sense, but it still doesn't make enough sense.
It still doesn't make as much sense as just not being a god at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, those chick tracks are awesome, man. I'm a gamer, you know, I play D&D and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, every D&D player in the world, you know, knows the chick track about the girl who, like, you know, kills herself because her, you know, her D&D character died. And people who play D&D in game are just trying to recruit people for the occult or teach them witchcraft and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember hearing about that in Sunday school, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, how Dungeons and Dragons was Satan and...
Well, yeah, that was back in the 80s and early 90s. The satanic, you know, the whole thing about, you know, the...
Occult and Satanism.
Yeah, occult and Satanism was really big back then. I remember thinking, you know, at the park by our house, I remember it was a rumor that Satanists...
Yeah, I heard that, too.
People who say Satanists go back in that park, way in the back, and have their satanic rituals there.
Actually, I heard it was in the woods behind Monroe Grade School.
Oh, really?
That there were Satanists... And then, no, actually,
it was back there somewhere.
I heard Satanists were there, and then I heard that the Klan met there, that the local branch of the Klan met there, and I heard that from a Mexican kid who told me he was a member.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That was funny.
A little odd boy who used to also tell some weird stories.
Also, a funny side note, a friend of mine told me that he knew someone who got his nunchucks and went out and beat up all the Satanists on his own, so...
Awesome.
So they were gone. Some little kid with nunchucks beat them up, so they're good.
Wow. A friend of yours did?
No, a friend of mine told me he knew a kid who did it.
Oh, he knew? Was it somebody I would know?
Yeah, you know, you probably know who I'm talking about.
Okay, have to tell me later.
You know the kid. I don't think you know the kid who he was talking about.
No, yeah, but...
That's precise.
Yeah. Was it like a kid at church?
No. Yeah, when it was a kid from church, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so moving on. I'm leaving the Marines. Got some doubts, but I'm on to a different life. Well, shortly after I left the Marines, my son was conceived. This was the most difficult time of my life. I was divided between Illinois, where my family was, and California, where my pregnant girlfriend was. Now, I said I'd been in California for the last 5 years, but I really didn't have any friends out there at this point. By the time my enlistment had ended, most of my really close friends had already, you know, left the Marine Corps and moved back to different places or had gotten orders to other bases. So after I got discharged, I pretty quickly lost touch with the ones who were still on base and on active duty. So we were in a situation where all of her family and friends were in California, and all my family and friends, because I still had friends I had kept in touch with, were still here in Illinois. So what do we do? Where do we live? Well, her and I had done some back and forth, and I wound up moving back home. Then that was actually after I moved back home, her and I separated, and then we found out she was pregnant, so we decided to give the relationship another shot. She moved out to Illinois. Problem was, I couldn't seem to find a job. My military experience just wasn't working out for me, so no good job for me in Illinois. So she's getting more and more pregnant, and we moved back to California. So I'm out in California now, still couldn't find a job, living with her parents, no friends, nobody to talk to. Unemployment's just about to run out, my car payment's a month late, and my son comes into the world. So I wasn't exactly full of confidence in my ability to provide for him. I couldn't even give him health insurance. She was on her dad's health insurance, so her portion of the birth was covered, but any care given to him was not. But throughout all of this trouble I was going through, and it was a lot, and it seemed hopeless. Praying for guidance really didn't seem like it would be a useful prospect. And 5 years before this, in my boot camp, I prayed every night, and I was sure that it would help, that God would help me. Now it seemed like I was talking to myself. I still hadn't completely said there's no God at this point, but it didn't seem like it just didn't even occur to me that, hey, I could do this. So I remember exactly when I became certain there was no God. I don't know the date, but it was when my son was only a few weeks old. I had him in his little stroller, and I was walking him to the park. Not like there was anything he could do at the park. He was just a few weeks old, but I still didn't have a job. His mother and I weren't really enjoying each other's company, which is a nice way to put it. So alone time with him was usually what I was shooting for to spend my time. I remember thinking about his birth, and it was the most amazing thing I had ever seen. It was fascinating. I had always heard of childbirth being referred to as a miracle. It's the most miraculous thing you had ever seen. And it was amazing, but I didn't see a miracle. I mean, emotions were high. It was just stunning, but I didn't feel the hand of a deity there. It was all explained by science. I could see how other people might see it's a miracle, just like other people once thought that these seizures were devil possessions, but that doesn't mean they're right. And I think around this time is when I said, hey, there's no God. If I could see something like this and not see a God, I will never see a God. So that's pretty much what was the last straw when I no longer believe a God exists. Now, a lot of believers might listen to this and they're going to say, well, of course you lost your faith. You had all these horrible things going on in your life. And that's also what, you know, that's the big question is what happened to you to make you stop believing? I think we talked about this on an early episode. Well, nothing happened to me to make me stop believing. It was just a lot of years of contemplation.
Right.
Yeah, there was a lot going on, and it was a very difficult time in my life when I stopped believing, but it wasn't like all the stuff bad happens, God's forsaken me, so he doesn't exist.
Yeah, you weren't blaming God for anything.
Yeah, I was just...
You were just noticing his absence.
Yeah, I wasn't seeing him. And honestly, if I had believed in God, I would have just thought that, well, God's giving me struggles to make me a stronger person, like
right.
The Christians do.
Nothing that happened to you, a believer would be able to rationalize all of it away.
Yeah, absolutely.
That wouldn't be a problem.
None of it falsifies a God. None of it points to no God. It's just the contemplation, the fact that while nothing that happened pointed to no God, nothing that happened pointed to a God. And the good things right. that happened don't point to a God either. And I guess my challenge to anybody who says, well, you just lost faith because bad things were going on in your life, my answer would be, well, would you have lost faith if the same thing happened to you? And if they say yes, I said, well, you must be a pretty shitty Christian. But if they right. say no, then which is probably what they'll say, then, well, why are you holding yourself to a different standard than me? If it's so inconceivable for you to lose your faith in this same exact situation, then why is it so easy to believe that this situation caused me to lose faith?
Right.
It's just, why are you holding me to a different standard? So... And I'm going to go on about this because at this point, I think it would have been easier to believe than not to believe. There was a certain amount of comfort there that would have been nice. I mean, this right. is the story, the fairly detailed story of how I lost my faith.
And if, you know, to say, if you had a religious community that you belonged to, that would have helped a lot too.
That would have been support. That would have been, if I went to a big church, there would have been, you know, networking opportunities for jobs.
Right.
But... I had nothing like that. I was more alone in this point of my time in my life than any other time. Because anyone who was close to me was 2,000 miles away. I wasn't getting along with my girlfriend at the time, my ex now. I was living with her and her dad. Her dad, real nice guy, but him and I were butting heads. He was not the kind of guy I wanted to be living with. And it was difficult. So... And this was hard. So, moving on, it was a difficult time. And eventually I got a job, but it was a 1.5 to 2 hour commute each way, and the pay was just horrible. I didn't make nearly enough money to pay for a place of our own, and it didn't have health insurance. I mean, at this point I had no unemployment left. My car was about to be repossessed. I was able to borrow money from a family member to stop that from happening, and it took me over a year to get that paid off because I still had to make my regular car payments as well as what I was behind on. And I had, you know, again, still living with her parents or her dad, and got the new baby in the room, which her and I are sharing a room with the baby, and it was a small apartment, and it was difficult, and the relationship had just continued to get worse. It was pretty bleak. I mean, things had gotten a little better shortly after I wound up, after being at that first job for a couple months, getting another job that was a shorter commute. It was like an hour, maybe a little bit more each way. It was second shift, which sucked, but it had health insurance and it paid a little bit more, but still not enough for us to get our own place, which my ex thought that that was just ridiculous, that the reason why I wasn't making enough money was just because I was being lazy and I didn't want to support her and the baby. But the relationship had this time gone to complete shit, and I had was eventually coming to the realization that it wasn't going to get fixed. But it's hard to leave that knowing that I can't afford a place of my own, and when her and I split up, I have to move out, and I have to move to Illinois. It was a pretty difficult dilemma because, okay, am I ever going to see my son again? I'm completely, you know, moving 2,000 miles away from my son. I'm never going to see him. You know, there's no possible way I could get custody of him. I'm just the father. What do I do? And I remember I was talking to my mom about it. And she was trying to give me advice, and she had asked me if I believed in a God. And I said no, and I remember her response was like, oh, okay, and I was a little bit disappointed. And it wasn't so much, like, from what I gathered from it, from her tone of voice, it wasn't like, I'm disappointed that my son doesn't believe in God. It was, I'm disappointed because I was going to tell him to ask for guidance from God, and now I can't because it's not going to help him, so I've got nothing now, which meant she had nothing to begin with. But and I remember thinking that, yeah, you know, if I had believed in a God, that it would be nice to have that comfort. It would be nice if I was thinking, I wish there was a God because he'd probably have my back in this. But it sucks. I'm completely alone. I wanted there to be a God. I wanted there to be something, a Jesus out there that, yeah, my son, I can help you. You know, we'll get through this. It's okay. I can make this work for you. You know, well, we'll straighten that bitch out one way or the other. But not that's what Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus wears a pimp hat in that scenario.
Yeah, but that wasn't an option. There was no Jesus. There was no God. I was in this on my own, and it was completely unjust. It was wrong that I had to move away from my son when, quite frankly, as far as I was concerned, she was the one causing the problems in a relationship. Now, I'm sure everyone says that in every relationship, right. So take that for what it's worth. But either way, it's complete bullshit that, you know, a lot of people get divorced, you know, and I was realizing that his mother and I were fighting all the time, but it wasn't fair. Why, you know, a lot of couples separate and they still get equal time with their son, but if we separate by the circumstances, I have to leave him. And I remember thinking, I wish there was a God, because if there was a God, there might be a little bit of justice in this world. So at this point, and for probably a few years after, I really wanted there to be a God. I wished that there was a God, but I wasn't seeing it. It's like, I don't believe this. It's none of it makes sense. None of it adds up. Yeah, I can't completely disprove it, but, I mean, come on. How much crap am I supposed to believe? So, as it turns out, which, you know, most people who have heard us talk a little bit know this, I wound up moving back home. That happened probably about 8.5 years ago. My son is 9 years old now. He still lives in California. I still live in Illinois. I see him as much as I can, but not as much as I'd like to. Shortly after moving back, I was hanging out with an old high school friend and some of his friends that he was hanging out with, and they were talking about how they recently went to a funeral for, like, a family member of a member of their group of friends, and one of their friends that went along was an atheist. Now, we grew up in a fairly small town, and I didn't know the person they were talking about. I didn't know personally, but I knew who he was, because his mom was friends with my mom. In fact, his mom used to cut my hair. So I'm not sure if you know who I'm talking about, Jake.
I think I might.
But our mom had a friend that also was a barber, and she'd cut my hair from time to time. I don't know if she cut yours, but she had two kids. One of them was a little older than me, so I didn't know him that well. But anyway, he just, you know, happened to be buddies with this friend of mine. Well, they were saying they went to this funeral, and it was in one of these big Catholic churches, and he was concerned, like, really nervous going in there. Like, he was afraid he's going to get struck by lightning. And, again, I was still pretty new to being an atheist, but what went through my head was, why would he possibly be worried about that if he was an atheist? I can see how his believing friends might be worried about it. In fact, right. I've been told, you know, I think every time I go to church, Dad says something like, what, are you worried God's going to strike you down? And I'm like, well, if I believed in God, I might be, but Yeah, why would he be worried that the God he doesn't believe exists is going to strike him down? So, it was odd. I remember kind of...
It's deprogramming.
Yeah, and I remember voicing the... well, the other thing that bothered me was, why didn't anybody else seem to pick up on this? And I remember voicing it to, like, because I didn't want to voice it to the group of people and sound up like a weirdo, but I kind of asked my buddy, I'm like, in private, well, why is he worried? If he doesn't believe in God, wouldn't he not be worried that this God would strike him down if he doesn't believe it exists? And my friend's like, oh, he's weird. I don't know what's going on in his head. And I remember thinking, like, well, he must not really be an atheist if that's what he thinks.
Right.
I didn't voice it because even by this point in time, I was getting really sick of hearing the term a real Christian. And I didn't want to come off the same way about, well, he's not a real atheist. So I just, you know, kept quiet. But I remember it seemed kind of odd to me.
Right.
Also, shortly after the relationship ended, I noticed that another very close friend of mine throughout high school, who also had since then become really religious, had stopped returning my emails. He and I had lived in different states because he was in the Air Force at this point in time. So we were drifting apart anyway, but it became apparent that he was intentionally not talking to me. So I kind of figured that he perceived the situation as I abandoned my son, because I knew that he was also in contact with my son's mother, and I know that when her and I had separated, she had contacted several members of my family and tried to get them on my side, and I figured she did the same thing with him, and he bought into whatever she said. Kind of bothered me that he didn't try to get my side of the story before making a conclusion, but oh well. So I just figured he thought I abandoned my son. Well, about 4.5 years later, I ran into his wife in Peoria, and I was shocked to see her, and she had actually kind of noticed me. We ran into each other at a restaurant, and, oh, hi, how you doing? And really friendly and saying, well, you should call, you know, my husband, he's in town, and maybe you guys can get together and say hi while we're only here for a couple more days. So, sure enough, I called him up, and we decided to get together, and that night, you know, he came over, and we actually had a really long talk. And most of the talk is about our religion, and we had decided to agree to disagree. And what he said was, you know, he's like, you know, if you don't believe in God, he's like, we can't be as close as we once were, but we're not going to be that close anymore anyway, because we have different lives now. And I'm like, you know, that's fair. That's a good point. Well, eventually I called him on it and I said, look, it became pretty obvious to me that you didn't want to talk to me after you know, my ex and I split. So what happened there? And he's like, well, he kind of gets a sheepish look, and he tells me that my son's mother had told him that I wanted her to get an abortion, which shocked me, because it's like, wait, so you're not mad at me for leaving my son. You're mad because supposedly I had suggested she get an abortion, which didn't happen. And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I should have talked to you about it before making a conclusion, but I was pretty upset when I heard it. And the first thing is that was a lie. The second thing is I was shocked that talk to me about it. But that was what the problem was, that his religion had allowed him to be so easily manipulated. And that's one thing about this particular ex, is she sometimes has a reputation for not being the brightest bulb in the bunch. Doesn't always say the smartest things, but she knows how to manipulate people. I've never gotten as mad at another human being as I used to get with her when we would argue about stuff, because she knew which buttons to push. She knew better than anybody else which buttons to push to make me mad, and she knew what buttons to push with him too. She knew what to tell him to make sure he did not want to have anything to do with me. And with him, the buttons to push were religious. I remember thinking, well, that's bullshit. His stupid religion got him, you know, all, you know, it drove us apart, and it got him, you know, to not talk to me. And, you know, eventually I just kind of realized, you know, we've all got our buttons. We've all got the things that we hold dear. We've all got the things that make us mad. His just happened to be a religious. But at that point in time, and this was probably about 4 years ago, I was just absolutely furious that his religion had caused that to happen. But, so yeah, going back a little bit, those first few years of being an atheist were kind of lonely. I remember this guy, you know, and I thinking that, you know, that this one friend who I was talking to, if I was religious, because I knew the religion thing was kind of a separator, but that, you know, he might be a little bit more willing to discuss things. I of course, I didn't know why he wasn't talking to me at the time, but I figured if I was a Christian, he would probably be more willing to discuss things with me. I remember chatting with a girl online that I met through, like, a dating website or something, and having a pretty good conversation when she asked, what does it mean here when it says your profile on your profile that you're an atheist? And I wrote, it means I don't believe in God. And she immediately blocked her from the chat, or blocked me from the chat. You know, no. Yeah, we're not even like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't really get involved with somebody. Just, you know, well, fuck you, buddy, click. It's like, you know, okay, you could have at least shown me enough courtesy to say sorry. But, hey, that's okay. I don't deserve courtesy. I don't believe in God. I'm a heathen.
You're an atheist. Yeah, what do you deserve? You don't deserve anything.
And
you deserve nothing but contempt and scorn.
Exactly. And another woman I dated, this was an interesting relationship because her life was a train wreck. And her brother was dating our cousin at the time. They eventually got married, and that didn't go over very well. But her and I start seeing each other, and we had the conversation about religion, and I told her I don't believe in God. And it was a real big problem for her. She's like, I don't like that. I really wish you believed in God. And I say, why? And she says, because Jesus has helped me through so much. And the funny thing was, her life was a complete train wreck. And I was thinking, you know what? If Jesus is helping you out, he's doing a really shitty job of it.
Right.
She had two kids, couldn't take care of them. They were always over. Her parents were practically raising them. Her kids went to church with her parents because her parents took them there every weekend when they had them. She didn't take them to church, and she didn't go to church. She was out partying at the bars, you know, every night. She didn't have kids. She didn't live anything what would resemble a Christian lifestyle. So it bothered me that she wanted me to believe in God because it really didn't matter. I could have lied to her and said, yeah, I believe that God exists. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's son and this, that, and that, and the other. And that would have been it. There would have been no follow-up questions. I wouldn't have been expected to go to church or pray or do any of the other stuff Christians do. I could have lied to her and just that would have been that. There would have been nothing to do to prove it. But my thought was, if I could so easily do that, then I shouldn't have to. Why should it matter that I don't believe in God when you don't really practice this religion? But we wound up breaking up for other reasons anyway, because, again, her life was a complete train wreck. So, yeah, I mean, throughout this first few years being an atheist, it was lonely. And I remember thinking, I wished I could believe. I felt like I would have more in common with people. I felt like it'd be nice to go to church on Sundays and, you know, that'd be a social thing, you know, get together with people and say hi, be closer to the family, meet some new friends. But I'm not going to go sit and listen to people talk about a God I don't believe exists. And it started to get a little bit better, oddly enough, when Jake and I started discussing religions, and I found out that we had pretty much the same viewpoints. That we'd talk about religion when we got together for family gatherings. I'd also started college, and after taking my intro to philosophy class and reading about Thomas Huxley and his viewpoints, I started calling myself an agnostic. I have since then kind of, you know, got, as I've done more research and thought more about things, I've figured out that I'm really both an atheist and an agnostic. We've talked about that before too.
Right.
And then Jake's telling me about the podcast he listens to, and he was more informed about the arguments going back and forth than I was, but he suggested that we record this podcast, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. And that's probably the most recent step in this journey of self-discovery. I was, once I was in a position to start talking on here and acting like I knew what I was talking about, I had to start researching stuff, and I think I've learned a lot more about religious philosophy and you know, how religion affects the world since recording this podcast than ever before, because I have to get on here and pretend to know what I'm talking about. And I've also, since doing this, I've met a lot of really interesting people online and, you know, realized that, hey, we're not alone. There's more of us out here. And, you know, when I think all this, you know, I used to think that all this religion stuff was crazy, but I thought that I was the only one. I'm like, nobody else seems to see this. Is there something wrong? I for a while there, I thought there was something wrong with me, that my brain wasn't wired right. And, you know, after all this time, I've really started to realize that that's not the case. That there's plenty of us whose brains are wired the same way. So,
all right,
that's probably the most touchy-feely episode that we're ever going to record.
Yeah, very autobiographical.
Hopefully, that's we can call this Nick's backstory.
Yeah, right.
My
Nick's origin story.
Yep. Every time, you know, once in a while, you'll watch a TV show or whatever, and then they'll do a special episode where they do the backstory of some character and how they got to be the way they are, and this is where I came from. So
awesome.
I hope it was interesting.
Okay. Well, then, do you want to get into some church signs, or did you have an article?
I think that's it. There was one other article that I had looked at and printed out, but I really didn't have enough time to look at it
very
much and prepare. So maybe we'll talk about it next episode. We're probably doing pretty good on time right now anyway. So,
right. All right. Well, then, let's do a couple church signs.
All right.
This one is not very, you know, there's not much to say about it, but I find it very interesting because I thought it was kind of, you know, at first glance, I thought it was kind of counterintuitive to what they wanted. But here's all it said. It says, need answers, seek within. Now, you know, you first read that, you think, like, seek within, and, you know, your first gut reaction, for me at least, was, you know, like, within yourself. You need answers, you know, look within yourself, because that's where you're going, right? But obviously they meant within the church.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that took me a second, too, because, like, really? Because they usually want you to look externally,
right,
like towards God.
Yeah, they don't want you to look within.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, they meant within the church.
That makes sense.
So I thought that was kind of awkward. I think they kind of had that backwards, but
I think that's like a little pun, because some people say the answers are within. You need to search your soul. You need to search yourself. And they're saying,
right,
within our walls.
It's very an Eastern style of thinking.
Yeah, that's true.
With religion, you know. Okay, and here's another one. I actually just saw this the other day because of the time of year. I think it's perfect for today. Having independence means you are free to choose Jesus. Which is true. People are free to choose Jesus.
You're also free not to choose Jesus.
Right, and good for them. And, I mean, you know, you're also free to, you know, hire a woman to come kick you in the nuts if you want to. But I wouldn't really recommend that.
Really? Because that kind of turns me on.
Right, see, some people.
You got a number for a woman like that?
Yeah, I can email them to you later. Actually, I know some people. You know, I'll do it for you. I'll kick you in the nuts.
No, it's got to be a woman.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway.
It doesn't work if it's a guy.
Right. I understand. But yeah. Yeah, you're free to choose Jesus all you want, but
that reminds me of the Edward Current free will video.
Yeah, you're free to choose. Independence means you're free to give up your independence.
Yes. You're free to paint your room whatever color you want, but if it's not yellow, then I'm going to break all your toys.
Oh, that was an Evercurrent. That's
That was Non-Stamp Collector. That's right. My bad.
Right.
Yeah. Non-Stamp Collector. God, free will God version or something like
right.
that.
You're like, where do you want to go to eat for lunch? I don't know. How about KFC? Nope. Sorry, you choose wrong. Huh? You said I could choose where we go. Yeah, I know. But it has to be that salad place down the street. You said I could choose. Oh, it's totally up to you. But if you choose wrong, I'm going to, you know, break all your toys, and I'm going to wreck your bike, and I'm going to go break your computer.
Yeah.
But it's totally your decision.
Yeah.
There's the guy holding a gun, like a bank robber.
Yeah.
Give me all the money in the register, but it's totally up to you, because I respect you as a person.
You know, I got a church sign. I think I mentioned this to you a while ago. I saw this maybe a couple months ago. I'll give the what they're referring to first. We live in Peoria, Illinois, and actually Jake lives in Sunnyland. I live in East Peoria now, so we're on the east side of the river where all the hillbillies live.
Peoria area.
Well, right through Peoria and East Peoria is the Illinois River runs through and divides the two. And we get floods once in a while, you know, especially in the spring. We get some rain and snow with it melting off and whatnot, and you know, the river always rises, and sometimes we get some pretty bad floods. You know, no one's built an ark yet, but it happens. Well, there was a church sign that said, river rising, or the river is rising. Need a lifeguard? Who walks on water? Thinking, well, that's stupid. You know, if you're drowning and you want someone who's going to be in the water that can swim and pull you out of there, you know, what's the guy walking on water is going to look down and say, yep, he's under there.
I can't get them because I'm walking on top of the water. Sorry.
Yep.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I think that about does it for this week, or this episode, not this week.
Like, yeah.
Remember, the website is agnosticbrotherspodcast.com.
Yep. You can email us at agnosticbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can find us on Facebook.
Yep. Except new members.
Yep. As always. I think that about does it. Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's about it.
All right. So for the Agnostic Brothers Podcast, this is Jake.
This is Nick.
And remember to keep asking questions.
Children into fools!